And so I welcome you this morning to worship at St. Stephen's for Sunday, October 20th, on the occasion of our 80th anniversary. We are a growing family, sharing God's love through Jesus Christ in our neighborhood and beyond. May God break in upon our consciousness today. I'm the Reverend Meg Patterson, and it is my joy to be here and worship with you this morning. As I was thinking about this year, I was remembering Jesus' promise at the beginning of the book of Acts. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so in that spirit, instead of a sermon today, we'll be hearing a number of witnesses who are going to share what God has been doing in their lives and through St. Stephen's over the years.
Okay. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to celebrate 80 years of St. Stephen's Church and 93 years of St. Stephen's Sunday School. As an existing Sunday school at the YMCA, many parents were looking in 1943 to establish a church to attend in the West End. As a Sunday school member, we attended a Sunday school service followed by our Sunday school classes where we learned about our faith. Once the new building opened in 1948, we attended Sunday school at 10 a.m., followed by regular church at 11 a.m. We soon had a cub pack and then a scout troop, so that all our life centered around our church. Our young people's group visited many other faith groups, which further developed my faith. My values developed over time, as did my many lifelong friends, which deepened my faith and gave me direction for my life. By becoming involved in church activities, you learn from others while participating. St. Stephen's reached out to the community by forming the Queensway Social Action Group with other like-minded churches, starting with the Head Start program for young preschool children. This is faith in action. In 1976, the Senior Support Program began. I've been involved in both programs and can see the difference that we made in people's lives. Our young people's camp at Lancaster, then Graceville, gave us the opportunity to share our faith with people of our own age from other congregations. Graceville welcomes worshipers of all ages. We enjoyed a Sunday there this summer, and for me it brought many memories of good times at this camp. Each Sunday, we gather for worship, both in person and online for our service, to enjoy and learn of our faith. We learn of the many activities of our church groups. We enjoy singing with our choir and the fellowship of our congregation. There is a wonderful sense of belonging being part of a group of worshipers and the many friendships developed over the years. When we started our family, it was only natural to bring our children to St. Stephen's, because of our own experience of being brought up in a faith community. Being involved is important, and I joined the board. Later, I was elected to the session. These activities put your faith in action. During my working life, my boss was impressed with the values I have and share. He decided to take his family to a Presbyterian church. I look forward to continuing my faith journey at St. Stephen's with you. In closing, I want to say that it's a pleasure each Sunday to sit behind Margaret, Andrew, Grace, and Ambrose, a young family growing up in St. Stephen's just as we did.
This Sunday is St. Stephen's 80th anniversary Sunday, and I turned 80 in June. I want to share with you some of the great things that St. Stephen's have done for me in my faith journey. Many years ago, I put two pots of chrysanthemums in the church on Thanksgiving Sunday. And I think it bears repeating. A lot of people weren't there because it was a holiday. But what I had to say was these plants are dedicated to St. Stephen's, to the ministers past and present, to the congregations past and present, to thank them for helping me grow in my faith and for the kindness, support, and encouragement and sense of belonging that they gave me so that I could take advantage of programs that were offered, such as Bible studies, working for the preschool when it was something that was I felt I couldn't handle. The preschool is a Head Start program at Parkdale, which was run by about 6 churches in the area. And I couldn't work with the children, although I had the training. So I was on the board. And I'd never been on a board before. And so finally, I said yes, and I went and was very transparent and said, I've never worked on a board before, but I'd like to represent St. Stephen's if you can help me. And they did, and it was the most rewarding time. So there was a wonderful opportunity. And then courses in Alpha and hospitality and many different other things helped my faith grow. Belonging to the circle, Open Door Circle, with all these wonderful women, also gave me a community, a small community of people. And we got to know one another really well, and I didn't read, but they read books and discussed books. And then we got more personal into our favorite hymn was, our favorite carol was, our favorite psalm was. And we became very close. And this meant a lot to me. And the other thing I did want to say was I miss not seeing you in church on Sundays, being personally connected with you. It makes me feel sad often, but I do have my good memories. And so I just wanted you to know that each of us is precious in God's sight, and that I feel that way when I think of you and your gifts. Working with the different ministers and with Meg now, she has helped me grow in my faith, and her absence of not being there was actually a blessing because it made me rely on my faith with God, which got strengthened, and with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. So I feel comfortable now that my faith has increased and brought to a point where I am not afraid and am anxious when the time comes for me to be with the Lord and with Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit.
And I wanted to just tell you a quick story about one of those people. So David mentioned Margaret and Andrew, and usually Gracie is up here with us. They're hoping to be here soon. They're at a baptism this morning. But someone in Andrew's family, so Gracie's dad's oma, which is like a grandma, often worships with us online. And she was here at Easter, but she often comes. And so we wanted to remind everybody that there are people that maybe we don't see all the time who also worship as part of St. Stephen's. And so she sent us this little note that I wanted to share with you. Ever since Andrew and Margaret joined St. Stephen's, I have watched your Sunday services quite regularly and have been blessed by the messages from Pastor Meg, the singing of your choir, and also the children's messages. They like seeing all of you guys. She does. It is wonderful how even the little ones like Gracie are invited to come up and are included in the conversation together with the older children. This past Easter, I had the privilege of attending St. Stephen's in person. I found there a relaxed atmosphere where everyone is welcome to hear the good news of Jesus and his love for all of us. Congratulations on 80 years of being a shining light in your community. May God bless you abundantly as you go forward in faith. Shalom. Anna Kalouf. So isn't that lovely? I wanted you guys to know about that.
This is to certify that Owen Collins Mahaffey, born November 8th, 1961, was baptized in St. Clement's Church, Eglinton, Ontario, April 1st, 1962. So there's the proof. That's the start of my faith journey. God knew it, but I didn't. Despite being baptized, I had a completely secular childhood and early adult life. In fact, my first profession of faith to God and to my wife, Diana, was 28 years later, right here, in this sanctuary during our wedding ceremony on September 29th, 1990. The most important day of my life. Reverend Graham Kennedy said to me during one of my pre-marriage discussions that he held with me, he said, Owen, your marriage is like a beautiful flower garden, but in order to keep it that way, you need to tend to it each and every day. I've always tried to live up to that ideal, often failing, but always receiving forgiveness. I view my faith and relationship with God through my life at St. Stephen's Church in much the same way. Diana and I were living in Belleville when we got married, and later Prince Edward County, and then Sudbury before moving to Ottawa in 1997. St. Stephen's, her family church, where she was raised, we moved back in 1997, so we decided to reconnect with St. Stephen's. This is the church where she grew up. We wanted to raise our children in a loving, nurturing environment, and that's what we found in this faith community. Over the next few years, I felt the increasing presence, maybe urging, of God in my life. There wasn't one moment or an event that coalesced my faith. It was more of a slow, increasing awareness of the grace of God. Looking back at all the events of my life, good and bad, that had brought me to this place and time, it became inescapable. It was as if God was saying in my ear, Owen, are you paying attention? Do you think this is all just a coincidence? A random chance? So, on December 5th, 2004, at the age of 43, I made my second profession of faith to God in exactly the same place I made my first one, and became a member of this congregation and the Presbyterian Church in Canada. How St. Stephen's calls me to live out my faith within this worship family and the wider community is exactly how Graham described my marriage. It's like a beautiful flower garden that requires my care and attention each and every day. There's a line in the anthem, Look at the World, that the choir sang last week that captures this well for me. We are his hands, stewards of all his bounty. His is the earth, and his the heavens above. There's an old hymn that immediately comes to mind for me when I reflect on my faith journey and life at St. Stephen's. You'll recognize it immediately. It was written over 250 years ago by a priest named John Newton. Like me, he too found his faith later in life. He started out as a slave trader. My sins are much more pedestrian, but sins nonetheless. But later he became an abolitionist and eventually an ordained priest in the Church of England. In his hymn, Newton intentionally uses small words and unpolished plain language, for which he was later criticized. But he did this because most of his parishioners were illiterate. I think it's beautiful, and I believe it's heaven sent. So when I recite it, you feel free to imagine the words St. Stephen's softly echoing in the background whenever I say the word grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Yes, when this flesh and heart shall fail and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. Amen.
Good morning. What a joy it is to stand before you today as we celebrate the 80th anniversary of St. Stephen's. 8 decades of faith, music, and community is truly remarkable. As I look around, I see so many familiar faces and many new ones, all of whom contribute to the vibrant tapestry of this church that we love. Growing up here with my mother, father, and sister was like living in the best kind of family sitcom, complete with our own quirky plot twists, from singing in the choir together to participating in various groups and events, and my dad and I having eyebrow wars to make each other giggle during the service. St. Stephen's was so important to us as a family. The years when the four of us were together here were filled with laughter, love, and are some of the most fond family memories in general in my life, sorry. Especially with my late mother, Kelly. She loved our church and the choir and made sure that we were there every Sunday together. The music we shared in this church is woven into the very fabric of my being. It was here that my love for singing blossomed, leading me to pursue a Bachelor of Music at Ottawa University with the support of Heather Rice, our choir director then, who not only helped me prepare for my audition, but also instilled in me the confidence to chase my dreams. And then there was James Wright, another incredible music director at one time, who went on to lead performance studies at Carleton University. He became an incredible support during my journey there and afterwards. It's amazing how the connections we make in this church community can really ripple through our lives in unexpected ways. But beyond the worship and music, what truly makes St. Stephen special are the people, the heart and soul of this church. Some of you have been true family friends to me, celebrating the joyful and more challenging moments in my life, supporting me in ways that extend far beyond these church walls. I know how blessed I am to have had this kind of support in my life, something that not everyone gets to experience. When I moved to Montreal to pursue my master's degree in 2015, I experienced a mix of excitement and an adjustment to being away from my hometown, church, and family. I visited various churches, but none I connected with. It felt like dating. Lots of nice options, but none that made my heart ring. It was during this time that I truly missed my church and the things I was used to. Then came the pandemic, a really lonely time for many, and the church adapted quickly by creating online services. Being able to join from Montreal and participate in worship, listen to Deanna's stunning solos, and hear Meg's inspiring sermons was a game changer, and I'm so grateful for all of those who made that happen for us and still do. My sister in Port Colborne, Genevieve, along with her husband Jay and son Lincoln, have joined as well online many times, and we sometimes message each other during the service, saying how much we like the music selections, or to laugh at my dad's facial expressions. Thanks, Peggy. Sorry, Dad. This church is more than just a building. It's a community of faith, of support, where we uplift one another and choose to be together. As we celebrate 80 years, let's reflect on the countless moments we've shared, both joyful and challenging, while always remembering the sense of belonging that makes this, our church, feel like home. Thank you.
The New Testament reading this morning is from Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 34, the parable of the growing seed. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seeds on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." The parable of the mustard seed. Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all the garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I promised witnesses instead of sermon, but as the minister, I get the privilege of having the last word anyway. So bear with me. But it will be a witness rather than a sermon, although being a preacher, I can't help but refer to the scripture, which I love. I came here 7 years ago, straight out of a career in engineering, with a lifetime in the church, but really little idea of what it meant to be here and to help in leading and guiding a congregation. We learn a lot of things in seminary, but surprisingly, it doesn't prepare you for what it's like to be in a church. I chose to speak after reading from Mark because I love what Jesus says in these two parables, especially for a church like ours. We're not a big church. This doesn't surprise anyone. In many ways, we don't want to be necessarily a really big church. I know many of us enjoy that we know the names of the people in the pews and can say hello and ask how families are doing. It is part of what makes us who we are. But it can feel like we don't have a purpose, or we're not doing as much because we're small. And yet, in these parables, Jesus doesn't say the kingdom of God is like, well, sometimes in other places we hear about the kingdom of God being like a feast. But here we hear about it being like a seed that is planted and then in some ways forgotten about. And yet God works on it day and night and day and night until it grows. And God doesn't compare us even to a walnut or a tulip bulb, but compares us to a mustard seed, this tiny little bit of faith that gets planted, and God grows it so big that the birds can nest in it. It becomes strong and sturdy and a place of community. I love that, because that is what I have found here and with my family. God has shown me over the past 7 years how seeds get planted and they grow undetected until suddenly they bloom in amazing ways. God has a habit of giving us just what we need when we need it. When COVID hit, we had an online presence within a week and we started recording hymns within a few weeks. By God's grace, people discovered and cultivated gifts that we didn't know they had. In some cases, they didn't know they had them. And yet here we were, helping us through that time. God brought us the Blue Whale School to our doorstep so that when the German kindergarten had to close, the school was ready to expand into that space. They have 3 classrooms here now. We've had people in that community help in little ways and in big ways. And I've had chances to introduce them to Jesus, walking through the sanctuary and telling the stories of the stained glass on the wall, being present with them in their celebrations. You know, by God's grace, 5 years ago, we raised $50,000 to help fix up things that were outside, to get new steps. And then just a few years later, we raised $54,000 to bring Alois and his family here to Canada, one of whom, right, Brunella's been here for a month. That is incredible how God is working. It can be easy to overlook these ordinary miracles that God is doing every day and every year in our community. We look around sometimes and we see things. I know I see things I wish I could do. And if I focus on those things, I miss out on the things we are doing, the things that God is doing. God is continually teaching me through this congregation not to underestimate the little seeds. Over time, they become a beautiful harvest and a home for many. The final song we're going to sing is In Christ Alone. And it's not from an anniversary service, but I picked it because it was the song the choir sang at my induction. And it was one of the ways for you to say to me, we're not so sure about this new music, but we're willing to give it a try. That's kind of been a bit of a motto over the last 7 years. We're not sure about this, but we're willing to give it a try. And I am grateful for all of that.